Only in El Paso would you get turkey flautas, right? Be looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 to the end of the chapter. If you don't have a Bible this morning, you can raise up your hand and an usher will bring you a Bible so you can follow along with us. So if that's you, raise up your hand and we'll get a Bible to you. Right here. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. I ask, Lord, that it would be used wisely, that there would be great benefit to the way we utilize this morning, this service. I ask, Lord, now that we would just simply give you our attention for the next several minutes, seeking, Lord, to hear your voice. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak right to where we live. May your word come alive to us this morning. And Father, I pray that we would be those who not only read and understand your word, but obey. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many voices in this world, voices that seek to shape our worldview, voices that seek to define for us what success is, to tell us what's important, to tell us what'll make us happy, voices that seek to influence the way we live our lives. The voice of media and entertainment is a very powerful influence, isn't it? TV, movies, radio, magazine, books, all of that. Guys, those things send very strong messages our way. They tell us things. Powerful messages that they communicate to people. And then there's the voice of education, philosophy, academia, psychology. Great benefit to a lot of those disciplines, but unfortunately, a lot of that has become very secularized, and there are many ungodly messages that come from there. And then there's the voice of peers. Now, we all know that young people, that's a very strong pressure with young people, peer pressure in the high school or in the college. But let me tell you, I know a lot of adults who have been heavily influenced by peers. All these voices are being broadcasted daily in our lives, and I just want to challenge you this morning, amidst all the voices that bombard you day in and day out, understand that you really only need to listen for one voice. Just one voice. And there's only one voice that matters. And that's the voice of the Lord. God's voice. We need to be those who allow God's voice to rise above all the other voices in our lives and respond appropriately to that one voice. Look what it says in verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.' Now this 'yet once more' indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Now, I can tell us this morning to listen for the voice of the Lord, because we do have a God who speaks. God speaks. The living God of heaven and earth has spoken in the past, and He is speaking today. His voice is out there for anybody who simply has time to listen. Look what it says there in verse 25. It says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks." That is concerning God. It could be translated, "See that you do not refuse God who speaks." God speaks right now. "For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth," God has spoken in the past on the earth, "much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." God is speaking right now, today, from heaven. So God is not silent, is he? God has not hidden himself from his creation. God is not disinterested in his creation. God didn't hang the earth from a string and get it spinning like a basketball on a finger and then walk away from it like the deists teach and believe. And there are many people that believe that they can't know that there truly is a God because they say God hasn't revealed himself. I strongly disagree with that. God has spoken. God is speaking today. God is not far. He's close. God is not disinterested. He's very interested. And in fact, one of the most amazing truths that a person can discover in life is the fact that God is interested in you. And God wants to speak to you. Listen carefully. I'll say it as clear as I can. God is interested in you. And God desires to show himself to you and speak to you. He has not hidden himself. He's open. And by countless testimonies, if a person will take even the smallest step towards God, God will rush them. God will blitz. God will floodlight his life or her life with revelation of himself. And if you are willing to take just a small step towards God, he will show himself to you. He will speak. He will change your life forever. Because we have a God who speaks. His voice is there. You just got to listen. Now, you might say, Pastor, how does God speak? How does he speak in an audible voice? Do you have God's phone number? Can I get his number? Does heaven have an email address? How does God speak? Well, he doesn't speak like that exactly, but the Bible teaches that he speaks very clearly, that he has revealed himself in very clear ways. God has shown himself and revealed himself through nature. Through his creation, he has spoken. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 2, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." When it says, "the heavens declare the glory of God," it's literally saying the heavens shout the glory of God. They announce the glory of God. They proclaim God. Oh, man, all you have to do is look at nature and you'll see God speaking and revealing himself. If you take a good look at nature and you look at the immensity of the universe, the magnitude and the intricacies of life and the complexities of life, man, there is no other logical answer for that other than that there is a God. Amen? That it is designed and God is the designer. Evolution is bunk. It's pure craziness. God has revealed himself through his creation. And what can we learn about God from his creation? Oh, he's powerful. He is mighty. He's wise. He's ordered. And he's so very, very beautiful. Look at the artist that God is. As you look at the universe and at the galaxies and at the intricacies of life. God has spoken. He's revealed himself through his creation. God has also revealed himself through his book. God has spoken and is speaking clearly through the written word. The Bible is the inspired word of God. I want you to understand, this book that we have opened this morning, this book that many of you have on your laps, is a supernatural book. It was written by God. He tells us what he's like in his word. He gives us his truth in his word. He has clearly revealed himself. He's clearly spoken through his word. And the Bible is unlike any other book. No other book even comes close to Scripture. No other religious book. The Quran does not come close. The Pearl of Great Price does not come close. The Book of Mormon does not come close. Any of those other religious books don't even come close. Do you know how many ancient texts we have of the Scripture that prove the veracity of the text that we have? And the historical evidence for the Bible is overwhelming. The archaeological evidence for the Bible is overwhelming. And there's plenty of evidence to indicate that this book is supernatural. It changes people. This book has changed entire communities, entire cities, entire nations. And when I say change, I mean change for the better. This book is supernatural, and it speaks to every person of every age, no matter where they live. It is still the world's bestseller. It has been translated into almost every language on the planet, and God has spoken clearly to his people, to creation, to all people, through his word. One person said of the Bible, though bound in one cover, it contains 66 books. It takes in a period of over 1,600 years, written at different times by more than 40 men. Its writers were men of different ranks, lawgivers, kings, princes, physicians, peasants, and fishermen. It is read in every pulpit in the land. It finds a place in the palace of the president and the cottage of the peasant. It has a message for everyone, the aged man, the little child, the weary, the glad, and the sad. The New Testament tells us Christ did come, as the Old Testament said he would come. Has God spoken? Yeah, he wrote a book. We have his letter. This is the heart of God. This is the truth of God. He has revealed himself. And then we know that God has revealed himself to his creation most dramatically by visiting planet Earth. God came here. We're getting ready to go into the Christmas season when we celebrate the birth of Christ. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God come to planet Earth, taking on the form of a human being and walking amongst us. I can't think of any other way that God can further reveal himself to us. And if you read the life of Christ in the Gospels, you are reading about God. Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen God. God revealed himself ultimately in the sending of his Son. God has spoken. Way back in April when we started Hebrews, the very first verse in this letter says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus reveals God. Jesus is God. God has spoken. God also speaks today through His people. Through people who have had their lives touched by Him. Through the church. Through Christians. I believe that right now, something very special is happening when the body of Christ gathers publicly and we open the Word and we pray and we worship. God is speaking right now. He speaks. He reveals Himself. And I also believe that God speaks in the inner conscience of every single person who's ever lived anywhere on the planet. God speaks to the inside of a person. God makes Himself known to all people. And the reason I say that is because of what Paul, the apostle, wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, where it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because, listen, what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them." There is an inward witness. Every single person is built, created with an instinct that there is a God and that they're accountable to Him. And that tells me atheists have to work very hard not to believe in God. They're working against how God even built them and created them. Jesus gave us a little more information on how God speaks to people when He spoke of the Holy Spirit who would come after Jesus ascended to heaven. Of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, Jesus said, "When He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." The Holy Spirit whispers in people's ears. Seeks to convict every single person on the planet of their need for righteousness, of their need for a Savior, of their need for Jesus. Does God speak? Has He revealed Himself? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Through His creation, through His Word, through His Son, through the church, through the inward witness, through the convicting Word of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my friend, it's not that God hasn't spoken, it's that so many people are too busy to listen. And they've allowed life to become so noisy that they don't hear the still, small voice of the Lord. He has spoken. And so verse 25 says, "See that you do not refuse Him who speaks." See that you do not ignore Him. See that you do not reject Him. See that you do not shun Him. He speaks. Embrace Him. Listen for His voice and respond appropriately. Now, guys, this passage gives us very good reasons to hear His voice and respond appropriately. This passage gives us very good incentive to listen for the voice of the Lord and respond appropriately. One very good reason is this. All people are accountable to God. All people everywhere are accountable to their Maker. All people will one day stand before God. And we're accountable to Him. So it's very important that we hear His voice now. And respond appropriately now. Before the day we stand before Him. Don't you think that makes sense? Look what it says in verse 25. It says, "For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth." Who is that talking about? Who is that they there? Well, as you know, the book of Hebrews looks back to the Old Testament. And here it's speaking of, once again, the experience that the nation of Israel had in the Old Testament with God at the top of Mount Sinai. Again, remember the nation of Israel was delivered from Pharaoh and the Egyptians under the leadership of Moses. They came out, they crossed the Red Sea, and they encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai. At that time, God showed up on Mount Sinai in a very dramatic way. You remember he came and he shook the mountain. And there was fire and brimstone and clouds and thunder, and it was a very scary experience. God spoke to the nation of Israel at that time. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He gave them the law that they were to follow as a nation. He spoke and he warned his people very clearly, if you don't obey this law, if you don't obey what I've said, then you're going to face judgment. And what happened according to the history of Israel? Well, we know they didn't keep the law. And they turned their backs on the Lord. And guess what happened? They didn't escape. They were judged. They were accountable to the Lord. The Lord had spoken and warned them. They didn't obey. And they got judged. And really, the nation of Israel is still experiencing that even today because they rejected what God had said all the way back then. And then it goes on to say, for if they did not escape who refused him and spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. It's an argument from lesser to greater. It's saying that we live in an extra privileged time in history. We live at a time where God is speaking from heaven, not from Mount Sinai. And we do live in a wonderfully privileged time in history. We live in a time where God has really given the full story. Where heaven's full story is out. Full revelation is there. We have the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. In our own language. Jesus has already come and died and rose again the third day and is ascended into heaven. And we come with the church already there. And all of this truth and light we have been exposed to. Now, if the people did not escape under partial revelation when they rejected the voice of the Lord, how much more will we not escape if we reject the Lord's voice, living in a day and age when we've been given full revelation? That's the argument that's being made. And the idea is, listen, hear his voice because you're accountable to him. All people in the Old Testament and especially today. And that's something to really understand and take to heart. One day, we will all stand before God. One day. And it says that throughout the scripture. King Solomon said it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The last verse of that book, Solomon writes, God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. One day that's coming. John the apostle, when he wrote concerning the future, he was given a vision of what would happen at the very end of time. And in Revelation chapter 20, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. You understand? There's a tape recorder going in heaven. There's books being written in heaven. There's a permanent record, so to speak, in heaven where God is keeping track, and that one day we will stand and have to give an account before that, before God, concerning all those things. Very important to understand. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 said, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And that's speaking about Christians. Christians, even us, we will stand before the Bema Seat of Christ to give an account for the way we lived our lives as Christians before him. So, it's very important to hear his voice. His is the only voice that matters. You won't stand before your wife or your husband. You won't stand before your friends at school. You won't stand before your current boss. You won't stand before anyone else. You will stand before the Lord. And don't take that lightly, and don't mock it. And don't wave that off. Some of you might be sitting here today thinking, well, if that happens, and I'm not sure it will, but if that happens, I'll think of something clever. I've been able to get out of a lot of tight situations in this life. I'm a pretty good talker. I can talk my way out of these things. You will not talk your way out on Judgment Day. You will stand before God. The books will be open. And you will have to give an account for the way you lived your life. And, you know, it's very dangerous to mock that sort of thing. And to take that lightly. I read this report. It really gave me chills. In the early morning, about 5:30 a.m. of December 28, 1908, the Monday after the Christmas weekend, a major tsunami earthquake totally destroyed Messina, population of 150,000. This was the deadliest earthquake in European history, with an estimated 120,000 fatalities. What chilled me so much is what happened just a few days earlier, before the earthquake took place. 3 days before the earthquake, on Christmas evening of December 25th, 1908, a group of unbelievers staged in the Messina Public Theater an obscene and sacrilegious parody of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. The following day, December 26th, a group of citizens assembled to insult God by decreeing the abolishment of the Christian religion. On a similar vein, the Messina newspaper Il Telefono published on December 25th this blasphemous poem on its Christmas edition. Now, it's written in Italian, but it's also translated into English. The blasphemous poem reads, "My small child, true man, true God, for the sake of the cross, answer back to our voice. If you are truly not a myth, crush us under an earthquake." 3 days later, the most destructive earthquake in European history took place. And under collapsed buildings, over 120,000 people in Messina and neighboring cities were killed. Was such a destructive earthquake God's response to the blasphemous insults leveled against him? No one can tell for sure, but we cannot discount such a possibility. Gang, verse 29 says, "Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a holy God. His holiness will destroy evil. It will consume sin. It will consume wickedness." Hear his voice and respond appropriately. There's another very good reason why we should hear his voice and respond appropriately. And that's this. Did you know that there is coming a day when this worldly kingdom that we all live in, this earth, this planet, this solar system, this galaxy, this universe, there is coming a day when all of this will cease to exist. It will be completely wiped away, and God will set up a brand new kingdom with a new heaven and a new earth. And the Bible teaches that only those people that belong to God by faith in Christ Jesus will survive that cosmic extreme makeover? Again, another good reason to respond now to his voice. Track with me on this passage. I find this passage so interesting because it tells us what's going to happen to the current system, current world that we live in. Again in verse 25, if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. Now, again, what are we speaking of then? At that time, his voice shook the earth. This is when he showed up on Mount Sinai. And remember, the earth shook. There was an earthquake. The mountain shook at the sound of God's voice. That was a very terrifying thing for the people that were there, I'm sure. But it won't even come close to what's going to happen in the future. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he is promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now here the writer is quoting from Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. And that's a prophecy in the Old Testament where God says that one day he's going to shake the earth and the heaven. That was future to the writers here, and it's still future to us today. Hasn't happened yet, but it will. There is coming a time when God will not only shake the earth, but he will shake the heaven. There's going to be not only an earthquake, but a heavenquake. And I use that terminology here because the word that you see used throughout the passage, shook, shake, is the Greek word seiso. We get our word seismic from that. Have you heard that word before? The seismograph, tracking an earthquake. One day, God will shake up heaven and earth. Goes on to say in verse 27, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, this future shaking will be one final shaking. It'll be the total end of everything as we know it, and it'll be completely replaced by something different. Everything as we know it will be shaken. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on in the future. This whole earth, everything, all of it, one day God will speak and it'll be gone. Everything. Think of that. By the way, that's sort of why global warming isn't really high up on my list of importance. I mean, I realize that right now we're supposed to be stewards of this earth, and it's very important that we are good stewards of this earth. But you know, God is going to ultimately solve the problem of global warming. He's going to replace this solar system with something else. And he will do this by his word. Not only here in this passage does it say that, but many other passages in Scripture. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, that's strong language, isn't it? What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 6, we read this. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, And behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, listen to this, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 8, it says, then the fourth angel sounded and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. You understand what's going to happen? This whole place is going to be shaken up, and God is going to replace it all with a new kingdom. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. When does this happen, folks? It hasn't happened yet, but it will. And just so you know, from an eschatological, a last days scenario of the Bible, having a hard time speaking, pronouncing words this morning, there's a specific scenario that I see the way history is going to wind up. I believe that the next event in prophecy that needs to take place is the rapture of the church. I believe that the church is going to be raptured. Now, maybe you haven't been here before and you don't understand that. It's a radical thing. There is coming a time when Jesus will come to the atmosphere and he will call the church up. True members of the body of Christ. And in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to disappear. And we're going to be with him. That will then kick off the last 7 years of history that the Bible calls the tribulation period, where the Antichrist will be unleashed. There will be a judgment of God poured out upon society, and many of the cataclysmic things that we just read about in the book of Revelation will take place at that time. Then, after those 7 years, Jesus will come again, will come with him. He will defeat the Antichrist. He will defeat all the enemies of God. And he will set up a kingdom on this earth and reign and rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years in the current earth. And the current earth will be much different at that time. Amazing changes will take place. After the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there will be one more final rebellion against God when Satan is let out of the bottomless pit. And there will be a final crushing of Satan. He and all his enemies, all the enemies of God, will be cast into the lake of fire. And then John says in Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. At that point, everything here will melt. Everything will go away. And God will set up a new kingdom, and those who belong to him will go into that new kingdom and, I love saying this, live happily ever after. There is a happily ever after for the Christian. And as far as we can see, that place will be the most amazing place ever. But knowing that, shouldn't that get us to thinking about some stuff here? I mean, all this stuff goes away, right? Where should our preoccupation be? Where should our emphasis in life be? Everything that we live for, everything that's so important to us today, won't be then. Think of it. All of the kingdoms of men will cease. There will be no more kingdoms of men, just like the Roman Empire, the Grecian Empire, Persian Empire, all a thing of the past. The kingdom of the United States of America will be passed. At that time, we won't care who's in control of Congress. Democrats or Republicans. It won't matter. All of the kingdoms of this world are gone. And think about all the materialistic things that will just be gone. The cars, the houses, the buildings, all the stuff, the TV sets. I mean, just one giant melting. All of it gone. And yet, think of how much time many of us put into those kinds of things. And I'm not saying that that stuff is not important. In the current world in which we live today, we need to be good stewards of what God has given us, and we need to provide for our families and work hard and all that. But all I'm saying is really, really think long term. And when I say long term, think of long, long term. Think of what happens eventually. And remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And also, be preoccupied with things that will remain. Like people. Like your family. Like your friends. And I would just really encourage you as parents going into the Christmas season, you may want to just spoil all your kids with, you know, all the newest gadgets and get all kinds of stuff for them. But you know what your kids really want? They want you. They want you. They want quality time with mom and dad. Cherish the people in your life. They're important. They'll remain. Only one voice matters. God's voice. We'll all be accountable to Him, and there's a big change coming. So see to it that you do not refuse Him who speaks. Christian, hear His voice. Believe His voice and obey His voice. If there would be anyone here this morning who's never responded to the gospel message, I'll give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ so that you know that you'll belong to Him and you will survive that extreme makeover. Look at verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, here it is, Christian. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. How should we live our lives? Serving God. Serving God. Ministering to God. Ministry is simply serving. As Christians, our job is to serve God with our life. I've told you this before. If you're an accountant, you're not an accountant first. You're a Christian first. You're a Christian accountant. Whatever you do in life, you are first a Christian and you are first a witness for Jesus Christ, and God has placed you there to serve Him. Serve with thankfulness. Serve with fear. Serve with reverence. Amen. Hebrews can be a very tough book, can it? And the message of Hebrews stresses, really, in many ways, the holiness of God. And the fact that, man, we are accountable to this holy God. And there is coming this time of judgment. And that is a very good reason to respond to the voice of God. But don't forget also that God is a God of love. And the book of Hebrews also talks a lot about what Jesus did for us when He was sent. God loved us so much, and He knew that we were sinners and we deserved this judgment, that He gave us a solution. And what was the solution? Himself. He sent Himself. And Jesus came and He died on the cross for the sins of the world that we might have an opportunity to have our sins forgiven. And guess what? When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. And you are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And you won't have to stand before God and give an account of your sins to Him, because guess what? All your sins will be gone. They'll be erased. For those who give their hearts to Jesus Christ have all their sins forgiven. The Bible says, though your sins are like scarlet, He makes them white as snow. He's a God of love. And He's a God who speaks. And for us as Christians, we need to rejoice in that. I would like us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I would like to invite anyone here this morning who's never received Jesus. To do so right now. God has spoken. God is speaking. He has revealed Himself. And He has clearly shown the way of salvation. The way of salvation is through Jesus. Right now, even right now, there may be many voices in your head. Maybe you're hearing the voice of friends or other family members that would say, you don't do the religious thing. What are you going to become, a Jesus freak? Or maybe you're hearing the many voices that you've grown up with, education, philosophy, and there is only one voice that matters, and you need to hear the voice of the Lord right now. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Respond to Him. Respond to that one voice. You will be accountable to Him and Him alone. Let Him be your Savior now so that He won't be your judge later. All of your sins get forgiven. You get saved. You get the hope of heaven if you ask Christ to be your Savior. He came and He died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day. The Bible says if you receive Him into your heart, you'll become born again. You'll become His child. Is there anybody here this morning who would like to do that for the first time? Raise your hand high. Say, Pastor, I'm raising my hand. Pray for me. Anybody here this morning? You have an opportunity right now to publicly choose the Savior. If the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit is whispering in your ear, then you need to raise your hand. Make today a brand new start in your life. Lord, then I pray for us as your people. We want to serve you in great thanks, with great thankfulness, with gratitude for all that you've done. We thank you so much, Lord, that our sins have been forgiven. We thank you that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We thank you that our eyes have been opened to your great love and mercy and grace. And I pray, Lord, that we would spend this life serving you, sharing with others the good news. Even now, Lord, I pray that you would put on the hearts of your people, other people who need to hear your word, hear your gospel, and I pray that you would give them the courage to share this Christmas season in some way, whether it be in a Christmas card, in a Christmas gathering, or just a time when they can get together with this person. I pray that you would open the doors for salvation to be received through your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. We'll finish with the song. Amen.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart to adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to be.
The same King of all days.
And King of all days, also highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all full of sin became poor.
And I'll never know,
and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Thou never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Dear, I am to worship. Dear, I am to bow down. Dear, I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Hear the voice of your Lord this week. Walk with him. Go in peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.